The children ages 3 through 3rd grade are dismissed to go back to the activities that are planned for them. Again, thank you all so much for leading us in worship and special music you've been providing for us. What a blessing for us to be able to share in that. So thank you for sharing your talents with us. Again, this evening we are privileged to have Chris Howell with us, Executive Director of Bible Memory. And on your way out tonight as you leave, make sure you shine your headlights to the south end of the parking lot. I don't know, maybe I'm stealing your thunder, but just to see how Bible Memory travels in the summertime. So Chris brought along our bus and the trailer that we pull when we head to camp. And that trailer has in it supplies that we need to run a camp, including the golf cart that goes along to the camp, and it's how the staff putts around. So again, just to give you a visual as to what happens in the summer. And that bus is usually loaded with 6 to 8, maybe even up to 10 staff members as they head either to Oklahoma or Southern Indiana or Michigan, wherever they might be headed for that week. So again, just another thing about Chris, he's mentioned it a couple times. I don't know if you've caught it or not, but Chris did. I think you were on staff at White's Institute for a while. And also he was very heavily involved and participant in Revive Indiana when Revive Indiana was around a couple years ago. And it was neat to at times just hear some of the things that Chris shared with us as a board about the opportunities that he was involved in and the things that he saw God do in person, and those were amazing. But Chris, come and share with us what God has laid on your heart tonight.
Oh, we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. And I'll explain that in just a minute. I do want to give a little bit of a praise here. It was funny, in the congregation that I serve, you know, we'd always kind of remind people to turn off their phones. Of course, that never did always happen. And so I'd always call them out. That was kind of fun. I'd say, hey, God must be calling such and such. They're pretty important. You know, they really like that. So I shared just a little bit. I don't think I quite finished up on it. I apologize. That's part of my passion. It's interesting. How many have read in the book of Corinthians, it talks about different body parts within the body of Christ? We all play that, and it talks about the feet, the hands, and the eye, and different things. And one time somebody asked me, he said, Chris, what do you see yourself? And I go, adrenal gland. And they looked at me and kind of laughed, like, whatever. And I said, yeah, really, it's true. I said, you know, and that's kind of neat that you recognize what you are, but you also have to recognize what your body part's supposed to do and not do. And sometimes too much adrenaline is not good. And so I pray that I want to say thank you right off the bat before we even finish tomorrow for this privilege to come and share with you. I pray that I interject a little bit of spiritual adrenaline into you and encourage you as a body of believers and as well as individuals. But where I want to go is this little email that I received. We had just done a camp, and I had started to talk about this, I believe, Sunday morning. I didn't kind of finish it, but we really strive at Bible Memory not to do the emotional tear at a kid's heart, so to speak. We really avoid manipulation, and sometimes, unfortunately, that happens. Sometimes we want to see goals happen, and we can do things. I have found myself failing in this as a young believer and then learning. Just let God do what he wants to do. And trust him that he'll make the results happen. And so it was really cool. We had a campfire, and so we had kids break up into campfire and pray with their counselors. And so we had 3 or 4 kids come to Christ last weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. Angels are dancing. Woohoo. All right. I can't wait to see an angel dance. That's going to be interesting. Shirley doesn't want to see me dance. Okay. So moving right along. I send out an email now to parents, and I kind of tell them, you know, the process so they can begin discipling their child, be aware of that, if there's any confusion and so forth. And this was the email I got back from a mom. And I said, well, let me read the email I sent, and I'll take the name out. But I said, I just want to convey some wonderful news to you about your child, such and such, made a public announcement that she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior this past weekend. We do not want to assume anything, but want to bring this to your attention. Some children get a bit confused if they have already made this decision. We treat each situation with care and want to inform you as the guardian to this so you can both celebrate but also process this with your child. When sharing the truth of God's word at our camps, we never want this to be just a verbal or emotional response, but we at Bible Memory desire to see this next step progress into a lifelong relationship with Jesus as you disciple your child. Thank you for the privilege of serving your child and your family this past winter camp. If you have further questions, please feel free to contact me. There is no greater joy than getting this email. Thank you so much for sharing. She was so very excited about this when she came home, and so are we. She's looking forward to this summer at camp. And it may sound small. That's a game changer. It's a life changer. And that's what God has called you and I to do. Maybe in different ways that we do that. I think it was prayed, you know, for all those, whether it was Roger and I praying before, he prayed for us beforehand. All the hands that go involved in this, we all play a part. And I just want to encourage you tonight to get, as we transition, we're just going to review a little bit, going to give you some practical things, and we're going to gear up for some really cool praying God stuff tomorrow night. And I want to thank those who helped with the children. The other night, God bless them. I trust that I never apologize for what God wants to do, but I also know I want to be respectful, and I know they did a great job of the kids, and I went over a little bit. So what you need to do is go and tell everybody that Chris let us out early Monday night, okay, because that's what's going to happen, okay? And so everybody will come back. So we talked a little bit, but I just, on a little, this is very lame, but don't judge me. Okay, don't judge me after this, because you know you're going to use some of these. But I just thought it'd be appropriate after we talked about ducks yesterday if you had some really good duck jokes in your arsenal, okay? So before we get started and we dive into these three R's, listen to these, ladies and gentlemen. At what time does a duck wake up? Anyone want to take a quack of dawn? There we go. All right, we're all rolling. Okay, this one's a little bad, but did you hear about the duck with the drug problem? He was a quackhead. There you go. All right. What do you call, this is really lame. What do you call a duck that steals? A robber ducky. All right, I'll do two more. I know, because I don't want your sides to hurt. Okay. what do you get when you cross a duck with fireworks? A firecracker. All right, this one, I'll get you on this one. What do you call it when it rains chickens and ducks? Foul weather. Okay. Okay, let's pray. All right. Yes, we do. All right. Seriously, let me pray for us. Father God, we want to thank you for the joy of the Lord. We thank you that your body does not have to be one that's so somber and taken in by we have to be serious. But God, we can rejoice that we're free in you, Jesus. And as we talked about the little sins in our life and how they can compound into mountains, Father, we also know that you say with a little faith we can throw the mountains into the sea. And so, Father, tonight I pray that you would release us from the mountains that have been in our lives of sin and despair or frustration or anxiety or doubt. And God, just breathe upon us life this time that we have together. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. In your name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, what I was thinking about, I just wanted to review just a little bit. You know, this Sunday morning, was past Sunday morning, we talked about identity. Thank you, Tim, for addressing that. He brought that up, that we put on a small little label that a lot of times that we've worn in life. And it is one of those small things. We've been basing this out of Luke 19, where that we are trustworthy in the small things is what the master said to the guy that took the talents or the monies that he was given, and he multiplied those. That's what God asks of us. He asks us to take what we have. He doesn't ask for us to become something we're not, be our body part, be what we're supposed to be. But the main thing we have to realize in order to do those things, we have to realize that, one, who are we? And a lot of times we've had things written on there, and this may sound a little redundant from the other day, but just to review, we've had different things that we need to take off, that people have spoken over us, or Satan spoke over us, or we have spoke negatively of ourselves, and we say, I am a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, or Father God. And so we reviewed, looking over that, and then last night, we kind of got into a little bit of what we talked about, the power of small sins, and the need to stop, and ironically, little sins is an oxymoron because it's just a contradiction of terms. And I just mentioned it. Little things build up over time into great big things. And I just prayed it, but it's something that hit me. Is that, you know, that compounding of sand that makes a mountain. And sometimes in our life, the compounding of the little things become a mountain in our lives. And the good news is that, you know, Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, a little tiny itty-bitty seed. You know, it's not about our faith. It's faith in who we have. If we have the faith of the mustard seed, if we have just a little bit of a faith seed into who the power of God is, he can take our mountains that have built over time and throw them into the deepest sea. That's good news. And so we went on and we saw how the compoundingness, and we saw with ducks, obviously, and the little things can make a big difference. When we talked about words and time and looking at the speck in other people's eye and the false humility and stuff that can get in the way of bringing us down. And so what do we do with that? So tonight, I want to give you know the good news. If you have been in church, hopefully you have heard this, or if you've been a follower of Jesus, you've heard some of this. But now I'm going to give you three practical steps. And if you didn't get it, there was papers back there. Thank you, Pastor Roger. I left mine at home. I was going to give you something to write down because some of us can't track with Mr. ADD. I understand. Some of us need to write things down on paper. Some of us need to feel things. That's why I hand things out. We all learn differently. But what we're going to learn tonight is just three things that it's a step. It's not the ultimate steps to help us, but these three R's can really help us in our journey with Jesus because it's something we can use over and over and over again. And sometimes we're always looking for the new and fashionable, and, you know, Solomon says it very well. There is nothing new under the sun. And I wish I could preface that. I don't ever want to change the Bible because that's what it tells us in Revelation at the very last chapter. Don't mess with the word. Don't change it or add or take away from it. But I could almost say everything under the S-O-N. There's nothing new. It's complete in Jesus. And so tonight as we go through this, I want you to have these and that they will help you in your journey and help you as you minister to people in your community. As you talk to them, you're going to come in contact with individuals that need to know they have been buried under a mountain of little sin that's grown and grown and grown, and they need freedom. And so let's start tonight with the first one. And the first one is, recognize my sin. It's three R's. Recognize my sin. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, we read this verse yesterday. Okay, it's up there. I got it up there. Gosh. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. If you're not sure what's going on in that department, that's the first place to do is ask the Lord. Jeremiah tells us the heart is a wicked thing, and who can discern it? God can. And so when we recognize it, I'll give you this example. Silly example. Okay. Older home that we lived in, we've just moved about 4 years ago to our new location in Goshen, but we lived out in the country. And our older home, our garage, we had a huge living room above our garage. And in the evening, sometimes the way the house was set, the driveway, the water would come in a little bit to the garage, and so I'd open the garage door and just let it air out and stuff. And a lot of times in the summer, it was nice just to keep the garage door open as I was working in the yard and talking with kids. But one evening, you know, we had the garage door up, put the garage door down, came up the next morning, and I recognized an odor in our garage that was not good. Some living creature was depositing unliving matter into my garage. And I'm like, what is going on? Just forget it. It's no big deal, right? No. Immediately, the smell warned me that something was right. And spiritually, our noses and whatnot, we can discern what God is trying to reveal to us. But if we doubt that, we can ask him to help us do that. So what I did is I began to investigate, and I located the odor as it got worse. And to my little bit of nervousness, there was this nasty little possum staring at me. He actually a very big possum, screaming or whatever the noise they make. Anybody got a defining noise, what that is that comes out of a possum? Ugly, ugh, whatever, okay? And he's like taking over, like, this is my garage. And I had a decision to make. His garage or my garage? Guess what? My garage. And we had a little, you want to go? And we did. And I got a little nervous there for a minute because possums, they're kind of ugly. And they got big teeth, I noticed, real close. And so I got to play football with a possum. I'm sorry for those who are in here. I love animals, but I think that was a spawn of Satan. I don't think that was an animal, as ugly as that thing looked, okay? And so I kicked him out of there and said, never come back. And that may be a silly illustration. But sometimes we have to recognize it. Maybe there's a spiritual possum hiding in the garage of our heart that we need to kick out. So the first R is to recognize my sin, and God, help me to remove that. Moving right along, the next one is repent of my sin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's what happens, is that when we repent and simply turn, a lot of us have heard this before, it is turning away. It is turning a 180 degrees. It's like going this direction and doing the U-turn legally. It is saying, no longer do I go this way. And I think sometimes we make this a harder step than it is. And it can be difficult, I understand. But we just have to go. I've heard it said one time from a band long ago. When I was a kid, there was hardly any Christian music. And some of you will recognize this name, but the name Petra came around in about the late 70s. And at first, when I first heard it, I was embarrassed. And then it got better and better. But they had this wonderful song. And in the later stages of their musical career, it says, you know, it's 1,000 steps away from him. But it's one step back. Church, no matter what we've done in our lives, and this isn't bashing, this is practical to help us when we do. Maybe you're not going through that stage where you feel like, you know, things are going good with me in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoice in that. But there's those moments where you're going to face stuff, or you're going to be able to be a conduit. And I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians 1 here in just a minute. And you're going to be a conduit that, but you're going to be able to tell people, I've walked 1,000 steps away, but it's just one step back. You know what the interesting thing is? It doesn't necessarily say it in that song from Petra, but I can just envision my own mind. The reason why it's one step away is because God is pursuing me. I'm his son. You're his son, gentlemen. Ladies, you're his daughter. And I don't know if you've had children or if you've worked with children. There's something about it. You want to protect them and give them the best that you can. And how much more will their Father in heaven lavish his love upon us? Repent. Turn. I've got this last one is what I really want to focus on. And then I want to go into one little different avenue. But the next one is roll on. I'm going to explain that, but I want to tell you where this came from before I go into that. But this right here is where I got this message or got these three words. As Steve alluded to, Revive Indiana, I was at one of the meetings one night, and I was really struggling as a pastor. I was wrestling with different stuff, things in my life, doubts, direction. And I'm amazed at how God works. I am absolutely amazed. And as I sat down there and I was talking and just kind of just groaning and moaning before the Lord, I said, Lord, what do I do? I look down. No one else is seated around me. Everybody's kind of left. And I look down right under the chair I'm sitting is this piece of paper. It's someone who I've never met in my life's notes from another sermon. What? Recognize, repent, roll on. God, God is so faithful that he'll use the smallest things to get our attention. Just as much as he wants to get the smallest things that can be a distraction for us, he'll use the smallest means and the most powerful means to get through us. And I went through these notes, and it was just these three words, and I've been going over it for quite a while. And just to see, this last one is where I want to expound upon, take a little bit of time into. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And the reason why I would say that, while you're turning to 2 Corinthians 1, if you're not there, the why I think it's so important for us to gather this tonight, not only for ourselves, because revival, as we may understand it, or maybe we don't understand it, or what we expect of it, the purpose is for us to not only help grow in our own journey, but in 2 Corinthians 1, I'm going to be in the verses 3 and 5, is that we're to take that. You know, one thing I'm going to dovetail off of Revive just a little bit is the biggest thing I think that they teach is nothing really new under the sun, but they're just compelling us just to do what God asks us to do. It's a two-letter word. Go. Go. And in that, when we go, if we understand these three R's of recognizing sin, if we repent of sin, and then we roll on, because this is the one sometimes we really wrestle with. I want to explain to you in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, why it's so important. Because a lot of you have asked, and let's just pause for a minute, because I think this is very significant for someone in here tonight. There's a lot of times you've asked, why have I gone through what I've gone through? God doesn't waste a hurt. What? That sounds kind of cheesy, Chris. What do you mean by that? God does not waste hurt. He takes it and he brings it into something beautiful to be able to be a blessing to someone else. If there's any comfort, I pray that you've received comfort directly from God, which his word is constantly talking about. He comes to us in 1 Peter and he talks about he himself will restore you and bring you into completion. But right here what he says, listen to this, praise, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort. Whatever your thing or situation you've been in, God wants to be your comfort and compassion to you, who comforts us in all our troubles. Say all with me, all. God doesn't forget and thought, oh, I don't know what to do about that one. I didn't see that one coming. And please don't hear this as being insensitive, but as an encouragement to you, a little bit of spiritual adrenaline, that God knows where you're at and I'm at. He knows where Camp Creek Church is at. And praise the Lord, he loves us where we're at, but he doesn't leave us there. And when he sees us going through these things, it goes in all trouble. So get this, folks, here's where it transitions, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I'll just stop there, verse 4. That is the purpose of tonight, of my sharing. As we begin to transition, and then tomorrow night we're going to really talk about how God wants to use us, and I want to share four things that helps us. And how do I do that, Chris? I'm not sure how I share my faith. And I'm not talking about just going up to somebody and trying to convert them to Christ, but just loving people. Just loving people in your community. Loving them and loving them and loving them with the love of God. But the way we do that is, one, we know who we are in Jesus. It seems small, but it's very important. A son and daughter, I know it's repetitive, but that's how we learn. A lot of teachers in here, right? Repetition is a key to learning. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we realize that there are no small sins. And those attitudes of the heart are what blossom into fruit that becomes very damaging to those around us and to ourselves and to the community. And if we take care of those and take care of business, then we see tonight this is the process that God begins to heal. And so we recognize, we repent, and we roll on. And trust me, in my journey, I realize Satan is more than glad to dig up my stuff. You say, just roll on and leave behind the stuff that I've let go of and has been haggling all my life. It's a process, but yes, you've got to leave it behind and not look back. I love it when Jesus talks about the parable of the man in the field. And he says he puts his hands to this plow and he doesn't look back. For some of us, nowadays when we plow, we got GPS, right? I was amazed the other day because my back of my yard lines up with a guy's field's got over 500-600 acres. The gentleman sitting in his tractor reading and not his hands on the steering wheel. I'm a bit nervous, okay? Then I realize GPS is in the picture and I feel better. Someone above is guiding him, okay? But in the older days, when they put that plow on the ground, correct me if wrong, you had a sight. You had your eyeball on where you were going, and you kept your eye there, because if you did this number, the horse could take the plow all over the place. I keep my eye on it. And so when I roll on and when I say no to that stuff, I've recognized it. I'm kicking the possum out of the garage, and I'm ready to move on. And I say, Jesus, I'm turning. I'm walking with you. I got to focus on you. I want to hold your hand. But boy, the tactics of the enemy come along, and they want to jump on our back and remind us, well, are you sure you're forgiven? Are you sure you're letting go? But I would pray that no one in here would ever do this. I'd pray you'd never go into a cemetery and dig up a body. Why do we go back and dig up the old man, the old part of us, the old flesh? Let it die. Let it stay there, church. Roll on, move on, go with Jesus, leave the past behind you. I've got a little video here. You'll have to forgive me for it a little bit, but I think you'll get the gist of it. It's by the Beverly Hillbillies, the great theologians that they are. Watch this and see what I mean.
I could invite you into the kitchen for some coffee and victuals, but Granny's so mean and cantankerous when it comes to...
Pearl, forgive me. I'm the one that set the law on you. Please forgive me. Oh, I'm so ashamed. Forgive me, Pearl. Don't let Jim throw me out of the class.
You set the law on me?
Oh, I'm low, Pearl. Awful low and mean. Step on me, Pearl. Step on me. Step on me like you would a worm. Tromp on me. Grind your feet on me. Wait.
There.
Oh, Pearl. Mr. Policeman, run over me. I don't deserve to live. Run over me and throw my poor old mean body to the buzzard.
All right, Granny, now that's enough.
But Pearl hasn't forgiven me yet. Mr. Policeman, give your gun to Pearl and let her shoot me. Oh, Granny, stop that. Put a curse on me, Pearl.
I forgive you. I forgive you.
But I deserve to be punished, and punished bad. Sing to me, Pearl.
Granny, Pearl done said she forgives you.
Am I taken back to the clan? Am I welcome to the bosom of my family?
I reckon.
Pearl, you are an angel. You can have anything I got anytime. You can have any part of my kitchen. Throw me out of it. Set the dogs on me.
Take your Granny into the house, please.
Sure, Ma. Did you want her?
No, I didn't want her.
Want me, Pearl? Oh, Jim, I'll take him in the house. Come on in the house and want me, Pearl.
You know, we jest a little bit with Granny there, but there's sometimes in here, I know I've done that where I feel like, I've asked for forgiveness, Lord, and I haven't rolled on because I keep beating myself up and I keep having Satan remind me and I keep thinking, well, I'm not sure. And I, church, hear this out. This should be good news, is that when Jesus forgives, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west. And a little side note, if you were here Sunday and we showed you that painting, when I was praying over doing that painting, I had the canvas kind of long side up, and the Lord said, no, I want you to turn it sideways and go east to west, just as I cast your sin away. We don't have to beat ourselves up and have people run over us or womp us, whatever it may be, but sometimes we do that. Receive the love of the Father. Receive the love as sons and daughters, that he's going to wash that away. He's going to take your mountain of continually little things, and he's going to throw them into a sea of forgetfulness. God forgets them. I think sometimes we don't. Rolling on is so important. And I want you to get this other visual, because I really want you to have freedom in Jesus. We need the church to be free more than ever. Oh, church, right now the world is screaming for truth. And people are different. And they want to see a difference. And they want to see this God. And the best way that they can see the God that we talk about is through us. And so I want you to visualize this. Another maybe illustration. You're going to walk away from revival. That was different. The guy talked about possums. And now he's going to talk about his 130-pound Labrador. Oh, I got a Labrador that I love. His name is Cap. Not Cat. That would be very mean to call a dog Cat. Okay? But I'm kind of a superhero. I have a superhero like in Captain America. My youngest daughter, at the time when I got the dog for her, at least that's what I tell my wife, she's figured it out already. It didn't settle real well. But for Kinsey's, I believe her would have been her sixth birthday, going on seven, I drove by an Amish home, and they had a sign, Labrador puppies. Oh, keep driving, Chris. Don't do it. Don't do it. Drive. Okay. U-turn. Bad U-turn. Okay? I went back, and I walked up there, and there's this mass of just adorableness puppies, Labrador puppies. There was 13 of them. Poor mom. Sheesh, pray for her. So, anyways, I looked at the guy and said, well, how much you want for these lab puppies? And he says, well, she's 100% registered. Unfortunately, the neighbor dog, who's Labrador slash, we don't know yet, I think ginormous, dinosaur mixed together, got with her. And so they're not full-blooded, so $60 sold. That was it, you know, $60. And I said, well, I want the biggest one, because I saw this one running around, and I go, I want the biggest one. And they said, well, he's already spoke for it. But that's not the biggest one. I go, really? Was he full born when he's birthed or what? Because, I mean, this one was huge. And I come around and here's this beige little puppy that has just got monster feet on him. And I go, yes. And so I bring my daughter Kinsey back out. We pick him up and we've had him at the home. And he's a joy and he's also, yeah, okay. And if you have a dog, you know what I mean. The one thing about Cap is being a Labrador, he loves water. Oh, he loves water. And he also loves dirt. It's weird. And he loves both. And so he gets dirty time to time. And he smells like dog smell. And it's not good. And he's an outdoor dog, but, you know, so when you have people come, you would like to have him cleaned up. And so it's interesting to think, well, he loves water, so let's try to give him a bath. There's some reason in the DNA of dogs that when you say the word bath, they run away. I don't know what it is, but they're very, very good at that. And Cap being 130 pounds, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when it's winter and he needs a bath and trying to drag him into my bathtub and try to do that, that is quite a feat, okay? Because I'm talking 4 feet. 4 feet planted against doors, 4 feet planted. I mean, he's just fighting me tooth and nail to get in there. And he's like, no, I don't want the water. No way. It's not my expectation. You guys, you humans do this, but us dogs, we don't do this. And I fight him, and I get here, and I have to confess, this is weird, but the last time, I just finally put swim trunks on, and we took a shower together, because that was the best way to hold on to him. I'm so glad no one came in, but it's what happened. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. I'm saying, I pray none of the kids come in with camera right now, because this is going on YouTube. So we're in there and taking care of that. And the unique thing is that I try to contain him because my wife freaks that he's in the house. So I try to get all the water sucked off of him with towels, which is useless. And I get him outside and he shakes. And the coolest thing happens. This Labrador at 130 pounds is not exactly what we call a speed demon. But I'm telling you what, after he gets a bath, he just runs around like a wild man. I mean, I think I have to replant my whole lawn because his claws, he's just running free and stuff. And it was in that moment God just said, Chris, this is the way I want my children to feel. Free, clean, no longer carrying the stench and stink of things that they rolled around in or didn't think they could get rid of. But I want to be free because Cap, he comes alive. He seemed happy, probably because he's out of the bathtub. And he's out of the bathtub with a man in swimming trunks. But he's free. He's washed clean. Church, if we embrace the Father's bath through the blood of Jesus, And that doesn't mean, oh, we put on the fake happy smile, but we have a joy in our heart that knowing that there is, as it said in 2 Corinthians, let me read it to you again. In 2 Corinthians 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble. Remember, all. He comforts us in all our troubles, all our sin, all our doubts, all our misunderstandings, all our broken relationships, all our sins that we don't even want to say because we're so embarrassed. He takes all those and he cleanses us. Look at Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19. I love how it's just the word. It's just repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that they may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Times of refreshing may come. Times of refreshing. Maybe you don't have a dog, maybe you think that's a silly illustration, but I think you can just picture him running wild and free because it's awesome. It's no longer my burden. I don't have to carry it. I want to conclude with something that will lead into tomorrow night. This happened during the revive. And it's. I want to tie this all full circle about being willing to let go of the little stuff, know who we are, let go of the little stuff, recognize, repent, roll on, so that we can be free to share what we have with others. And the story goes like this, is that there was, I was at one of the revive services in the morning. I tried to attend every morning at 7 a.m. for prayer, and then we'd have breakfast, and then we'd go out and share the gospel. And I had been going, and I could share some other stories that maybe I will enlighten that were just mind-boggling to me that they happened. But this one in particular was this Sunday, or that day after prayer, I was very tired because I had been out going, and I mean, just crazy God stuff was happening. And I was so worn out, I thought, Lord, can I just set this time out for a little bit so I can go rest at home? Because I was going to get some groceries at the Aldi's across the street from the church and go home and just kind of crash. I've just been nonstop for about 30 days. And so I went over there and I walked in, and one of the things that we talked about during Revive is that we talked about how do we approach people? Do you go, hey, are you saved? Are you going to hell? No, it was more of this. It's, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? You will be surprised, church, how many people are receptive, even though they may not be church folk or they may not even be Christians, but they'll be willing to receive help in a prayer. It's amazing dynamic. It's so simple, but so good. And so I walked into the Aldi's, and I was getting my groceries and stuff, and I walked up to the counter, and this young gal was sitting at the counter. Her name was Lindsay. And Lindsay was sitting there, and I just was trying to make small talk and that. And then finally I said, Lindsay, this may be a weird request, but if there was something I could pray for you about or pray for you concerning something, what would it be? And Lindsay looked at me, and she kind of looked, I didn't know if she was a believer. I didn't know if she was a Christian or not. I just knew I needed to pray for her. She goes, pray for my car. Okay, why? She goes, my job requires me to drive a 50-mile round trip. I live about 25 miles away. I drive all the way over into Goshen to work at this Aldi store. And my radiator is going really bad in my car. And I go, oh, that is not cool. She goes, yeah, I'm a little concerned because even tonight I'm afraid to get in that I'm going to get home if it's going to be all right to get home. I said, well, Lindsay, you know what? Being a man of God, I said, I'll just tell you what, I'll pray for you. Well, thank you. And I grabbed my groceries and I walked down the door towards it. About 9 or 10 steps later, the Holy Spirit says, you're going to go fix her radiator. You paying? So immediately, I don't know why, I've never been by this radiator store, but this particular radiator store went to my mind. And so I went to it, Maple City Radiator. Go figure, Goshen, right? Maple City everything. Maple City maple syrup. I don't know. You know, it's just we have this thing. So I go over there and I talk to this guy and I tell him, hey, got a situation, got a young lady that has a radiator problem with her car and we need to get that fixed for her. Here's my card, and if she comes in, I want you to get it and then call me and I will come pay for it. I will fix it. And I looked at his name tag. His name was Joshua. I thought that was unique. So I said, well, thank you, Joshua. Here's the card. Let me know. Here's her name. I'm going to go back and tell her, can I take your business card, give it to her, tell her to come get this done. He said, absolutely. So I go back into the Aldi's. I go in there, and I go up to Lindsay, and I make sure no one's around because I don't want to embarrass her or anything. I said, Lindsay? And I said, remember me? He said, well, yeah, you were just in here. I said, you talked about your car. You need your radiator fixed, right? She goes, yeah. And she goes, well, I'm going to tell you what, Lindsay. God's told me, instead of just praying for it, that we're going to fix it. I said, I want you to take this card, and I want you to go back. There's a guy named Joshua. Joshua. I want you to go back to Joshua. You sticking with me? I'm trying to put that in there. And so she goes, and she just starts bawling. She's like mid-20s young lady. She just starts being crying and crying. I said, go get that fixed. She goes, thank you. Why are you doing this? She said, Lindsay, it's because God wants you to know you. He loves you. You're his daughter. And she's like, what? And I said, God loves you. Just go get it done and I'll take care of it. She goes, thank you. I said, you're entirely welcome. I'm sitting there, Lord, how are we going to pay for this? So I said, Joshua, call me when you're ready. And sure enough, he tells me by the end of the day I'll be ready. I go home. I take a quick nap, a power nap, 30 minutes or so. Turns into a couple hours. And I wake up and I go, oh no, they're about to close. I got to pay for that. She's going to be getting off work to get her car. So I go flying over there and I pull into the radiator shop and I go inside and there's a gentleman standing there and he's kind of bantering with Joshua. He said, well, he told my daughter he was going to pay for this. And I'm going, he's a big man. That's my first thought. I said, I'm the guy. And he turns around and he goes, I wanted to meet you. I'm like, I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home. He goes, I want to shake your hand. And I said, well, okay. And he says, I've been praying for my daughter that God would bring something major in her life to bring her back to Jesus because she's walked away from him. And I was a drug dealer, and I've been convicted of my crimes, and I went and spent many years in jail. And now I go out to the Elkhart County Jail, and I give my testimony about how God saved me. And he begins this sermon in the middle of Maple City Radiator. And I'm like, Josh, you better hang on, because you're getting a full meal deal here, okay? Okay? And so he begins to do this. And I'm sitting there like that. And after that, he walks out and says, thank you. Thank you for being an answer to prayer. I'm not saying this to gloat about Chris, because Chris was doubtful. Chris was uncertain what he should do. Chris was just being obedient to the small, still voice of God. We've been talking about small these last few days. And so when he left, I looked up to Joshua. It was just me and Josh in the room. And I said, hey, Josh. I said, I didn't mean to cram Jesus down your throat. I don't know where you stand with all that, but that's what this was about. He says, oh, that's cool. I said, by the way, do you know your name, Joshua, what that means? It means the Lord saves. And if you ever want to talk about this, Joshua, here's my card. And Lindsay picked up her car, and she went on, and I haven't seen Lindsay. Because sometimes in our minds in the church that when we do the small stuff, there's going to be these big results that we'll see. But no, we may not see the huge results of our little actions. I want to say this because I started to get a little choked up because I just bumped into someone else who knew about this story. He had heard about it because he works in the mechanical business, and he caught wind of it. He says, Chris, did you hear about Josh? I said, no. I said, why? Well, I never did get to follow up with him or whatnot, but I know that I approached him about talking about the Lord. He says, well, I'm glad to hear that. He says, I don't know what happened, but he was just killed last week. I said, what? He said he was on his way to work, lost control of his car, got ejected from his car, no seatbelt, and is now in eternity, and I'm not sure where. You're saying, why am I telling you this story? Because the small is so important. Not to put doubt or condemnation on us, but the one to encourage you who you are in Christ. Don't let the little stuff build up. Get rid of it. It can become big stuff. But the good news is God can take that mountain of little stuff and throw it to the deepest sea. And then he gives us these three things. off a piece of paper that we've never met. You and I have, a lot of us have never met until recently. And pray the Lord Jesus that you'll still want to see me after this. But this paper that has now disappeared, here it is, that I found on a seat, God's small piece of paper, is being transferred to you this evening to give you a source of encouragement, of recognizing, repenting, and rolling on with the love and grace of Jesus, so that when you walk into an Aldi's or you walk into whatever around here, that small still voice asks you to say, hey, how can I pray for you? That's when revival breaks out. It's when lives are changed. The simple little things that we do when we're obedient to God. That's why he refers to a little boy who's got fish, a couple fish, and 5 loaves of bread, and he has leftovers. If we're faithful to the small, God will multiply it. Told you I'm getting you out of here tonight. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness to us. And Father, I pray that Joshua, the young man I just talked about, God, I pray that he did make that decision to repent and turn and come to you. I don't know, Lord Jesus, but I pray that he had that opportunity. And I pray wherever Lindsay's at today that, God, she recognizes that she is a daughter of the Most High and that you love her greatly. And Father, I pray for each person in the room here that they'll take this, Lord, and you'll put it into their minds and hearts and help them to sift through what you wanted them to hear. Maybe they heard this part or they heard this story or whatnot, but God, may it be spiritual adrenaline to help them to say yes to the small, still voice that says, would you go do this for me? Would you speak this kind word to that person that looks down? Would you be willing to do something for someone else in the community? May we be the hands and feet of you, Jesus. Bless this time tonight, and as we, Lord, go about our day tomorrow, may we be encouraged by how much you love us. And God, also help us to come back tomorrow night, fellowship over our meal, and love you through song and worship, and rejoice in the name of Jesus together. For it's in your mighty name we pray, and the body of Christ said, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Pray one more time. I don't want to hold you up, but I want to pray this last thing before we go and dismiss you to fellowship. Father God, thank you for grace. And I pray right now, God, that this will be a defining moment in someone's life, that God, they can have a plan of action when it feels like they're bombarded by the lies that they have experienced in their life, that they can recognize who it's coming from, they know who their identity is, and they can repent of doubt or frustration, and they can roll on with you, God, free as a dog bathed, going crazy in the freedom of Jesus. Let us go forth tomorrow in that freedom, and even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless y'all. Have a great evening.